Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, they are back after a tie. Ugh, I mean, it was a weird one, man. It was competitive, and I think in a lot of ways they should have won. I think they probably felt like they should have. But they didn't lose, so I don't know how this was processed when they hit the tunnel and got in the locker room. Julian Love, our buddy from the Giants, back again every week here on the show. Julian, Tiki, and Tierney, how you doing there, buddy?
Doing well. How are you guys?
We're good.
How did that feel? Man. I mean, I think I've only had – I don't think I've had any ties in my life, so because it was different, tie-breaking rules. But how did that feel?
Yeah, I mean, it felt weird, to say the least. Before I unpack that, what did he say? He's that previous guy. He said he was cross street from Yankee Stadium as a Mets fan. I heard he said he was a Jets fan. So I don't know what's going on. You should have been hung up on that.
Hey, listen. No. Hey, listen, Love. I mean, I'm a Jets fan. Take it easy, buddy.
Julian, he was defending me because we were watching Japan and Croatia.
No, not we. You were.
I was watching Japan and Croatia. And the goalie for Croatia stopped 3 of 4 penalty kicks, which is like unprecedented. It was epic.
He sounds riveted. Julian's with me. Let's keep the train moving, right, buddy? This guy will digress into soccer if you give him an inch.
I'll be in a rabbit hole for a long time.
So seriously, though, when you guys get in the locker room, I mean, we know Dave's. He's an emotional guy. We love it. He wears his heart on his sleeve. How did you guys unpack that? How did you process that one as a team?
It was very weird. I've never been a part of that before. You kind of bust your ass for, you know, competitive atmosphere. You know, I thought we did a lot of things right. The energy was great that day. And yeah, the game just ends, which is a tough scene. It just felt like, I don't know, anticlimactic almost. But then when you go back on tape, you really, and you know, Davis was consistent. He wasn't, you know, super one way or the other. But the message was that, like, instead of this is what stuff that we did to win, or this is stuff that we didn't do to lose, it was like, you know, this stuff we could have done to maybe swing the tides. Like, and so you're searching for plays that really made the difference.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's face it. You play 60 minutes. I'm sure you've kind of gotten into the tape by now. Is that a game that you felt that you absolutely should have won? Do you think that you played better than those guys?
Yeah, I think in all of my years of playing football, I feel like the momentum, the juice, the energy, I feel like there's opportunities to win that game. We had the whole second half. I felt like, yeah, this is our game to win. Like, and, you know, there's moments we could have won up 14 instead of 7 and made it, you know, put it a little bit out of reach. But, yeah, it was very weird. I felt like there was opportunities we definitely left out there.
Yeah, I know. And we'll, as fans, we'll point to the Feliciano penalty, which was nonsense, that backed the offense up and obviously ended up punting and they went down and scored, Washington did, and led to what ultimately became overtime. But, like, you talk about the takeaways every week, and I think Brian Daboll, Coach Daboll, does a great job at that. This is what you need to correct. This is what we did really well. The takeaway from this week is, as good as you guys have been at finishing, you can't get complacent about it, especially at this point in the season. We talked to you last week about this is really a playoff atmosphere. I mean, from now on, from here on out, it really is like every game is a playoff game for you all.
Yeah, no, it is. And really the message, at least I was trying to convey and trying to lead the defense in, was starting fast. And, you know, we didn't start the game fast, which we got to do better at. I think that's something that we were always doing well at first, you know, whatever games of the season. We started the game as fast, but then we started the second half pretty fast. And so that's something you, like, build off of. Like, okay, we got that kind of flow going again. Our third down numbers on defense were down, which that's the staple of who we've been. And so there's some things that I really needed to see from us, like trying to just encourage and have some good juice, some good energy to show. And so, like, you leave off on kind of a promising note even though you don't get the win, it's like, all right, we got back to who we were. Now we just got to make those freaking plays that just win the game for us.
Yeah, you do. And it starts this weekend against the Philadelphia Eagles, who have just found so ways to win. I mean, they've had one lapse, and that was it all season long. As you think about attacking what Jalen Hurts brings and, you know, the A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith, like, how do you get your mind around slowing down what they've been able to do all season long? And is there anything that you key on with the Eagles that we could see?
Yeah, it's a challenge playing these guys because they run a college-style offense. And, you know, with Hurts and his run ability, but also you have guys like A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, guys who are just game wreckers in their own right. And so it's a challenge. And really, this game is going to be about guys winning their matchups. It's going to be our front being dominant, getting some penetration, and disrupting their run game. And it's going to be on our DBs to step up and really just play together and create takeaways. I think when you saw the game that they lost, that's what the story was. Washington forced takeaways. And so that's what we're going to have to do to win this game.
Listen, that all makes sense. I think you guys really need, of all the weeks that you guys really need your running attack offensively to come through and crank out yards and keep that clock bleeding, keep that offense off the field. That to me, that's the key right there, Julian.
No doubt. That's kind of how, you know, I watch college ball. I'm a Notre Dame guy, but that's kind of how I think the Michigan team that just made the playoffs, that's kind of how they operate. When they're at their best, that's what they do. And so to see that kind of old school blue blood football is what we need to get to. Like you said, we got to keep that offense off the field. And, you know, I believe in our O, we're getting some guys back, some old linemen back. And so, yeah, Saquon is going to need to have a day.
Yeah, and Daniel Jones as well. He was really good last week. You know, fumble aside, he was really good at running with the ball as well. You know, let me take you aside for a second, because it's now at that point where it's playoff time, right? And you have the Eagles and you have Washington, and I'm wondering, as you guys start to get a little bit healthier, the feeling that I used to espouse about this Giants team week 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6 or so is, all right, just build culture, man. It's all about, you know, doing the little things. We're building for next year. When did that go away, and when are you, no, let's live for right now?
Yeah, it's weird. I mean, you kind of got to think of it short term, but
yeah.
I mean, you're kidding yourself if you're not, you know, thinking about the long term success of this team. And what it has been in the history of the Giants has been just tough football, tough smash, like just basically it's complimentary of the community. It's just a tough smash mouth team. And that's what, at our core, we have to be. And, you know, obviously, like, you know, nowadays with the game, you got to be able to air the ball out. You got to be able to play a little bit of finesse game as well. And that's something we have to maintain. Like, yeah, play a little things, but also big plays help. And, you know, those flashy things sometimes are needed. And so as we build this thing, yeah, you want to have a one-week-at-a-time mindset. But you also want to, you know, I know Shane and Daboll are building for what we want to be in these next few years as well.
Yeah, you're a human being. I mean, you could still be immersed in the task at hand and not trip over thinking about the future here and there. You guys are smart enough to compartmentalize that. I get it. You know, and it's funny, you talk about the history of the Giants and the NFC East and the battles and all the different iterations, and every generation of Giants have had different rivalries that are hotter. Like, sometimes it's the Dallas Giants that's white hot. Sometimes it's Giants Philly. Sometimes it's Washington Giants. You've been around a couple of years now, mostly down years outside of this. To you, who's your biggest rival in the division?
I mean, that's so tough to say. I would say, like you said, the white hot. The hate is there probably most with Dallas.
Okay.
But Philly doesn't follow too far behind. In the past few years, you know, the record might not show up, but since I've been here, the games have always been kind of close. Where we've had a lead late in the game and we just haven't finished the job against Philly. And so it's rivalry where I kind of got that hate.
Yeah.
And that, I set the swagger, set the chip on my shoulder, because I don't like, you know, it's city for city. I'm a New York guy now, and so I don't vibe with what they got going on over there. And
that's
so,
what I'm saying.
Yeah, I think those two probably are at the top right now. And then Washington, you know, in their own right, you know, you don't like them as well, but I think the other two teams are a little more.
Look at you carving out that territoriality. No, you're saying this is my city.
Yeah, I think it's different for everybody.
I love it.
Like, for me, it was Cowboys because I was, at the time, Redskins fan, now Commanders. But I was a Redskins fan growing up, so the Cowboys were the hated team. And then I went to the Giants, so it was still the Cowboys. And then the Redskins, because they didn't draft me. It's different. It's different for every guy. But you find your motivation in that. And so as you think about this weekend and the Eagles, the motivation is clearly there. One, because you hate them. But two, it's like they're the king of the hill, right? You have to knock them off in order to get to where you want to be, both now and then ultimately at the end of the season.
No, without a doubt. I mean, they're the right now, many could see them as the best team in the league. And so, yeah, you're really pissed off at that because they're in your division and you want to make a statement. And so, you know, we're going to come out and we're going to fight the way we always do. And, yeah, we're going to play with swagger and energy because this is a division opponent. Yeah, they may be beating these other teams, but we have to make a mark on them ourselves.
Yep.
So that's what it is. And like you said, like every year you kind of have that chip on your shoulder for that top team. You know, some years it may be, you know, Dallas. Some, you know, in the past it might have been Washington. And, you know, now right now it's Philly. And so, yeah, all eyes are on them ready to attack because we're going to need to.
You know, I have one for you. It's kind of a bigger picture thing. And, I mean, everybody loves Dable's energy and his fire, and he's a human being. He's not one of these pre-programmed robots that just spits out numbers that drives us crazy. I can't stand that. I need a human being, especially for a sport like football. But he is very, very intense. Can you be that kind of coach in the NFL like that on a week-to-week basis? And I'm sure he's very similar in practice. For 10 years, 12 years, or is there a shelf life on that kind of energy?
That's a good question. I'm not sure. I would imagine, like, at some point, you're like, all right, I got to chill out. Just, you know, I'm getting up there in age. But for him, I don't know. He has that passion, and he shows that fire. He gets, you know, really, really competitive. But for me, it's never really anything, you know, more than that. Like, I know him as the jokester still. And so when you have that image of him, like when he's fired up, you're like, okay. Like, he's just yelling right now. He's compassionate. He wants to win. It's for a common good. I feel like that's how most of us feel. And so, you know, I feel like from a morale perspective, we can deal with that for, you know, a long time. For him, you know, I don't know. Maybe he'll need to, you know, to work on the food he's eating or something like that.
I love it. Hey, gotcha. Hey, Julian, we saw that you're lobbying, and people should vote for you for the Pro Bowl. You deserve it, dude.
Yep.
85 snaps you had defensively yesterday. Oh, and by the way, you played 20 snaps of special teams as well. So, I mean, you're grinding, man, and it's a testament that we have you on every week. You speak so perfectly about the issues going on in the locker room, and you're honest, and we just want to say we appreciate you, and good luck with the Pro Bowl voting. So all you Giant fans out there, go find the way and vote for Julian for the Pro Bowl. He deserves it.
Well said. Well said, buddy.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Julian.
You got it. Great ambassador for the team, man. We appreciate you, Julian. We'll get you next week. There he is, Julian Love, right here on the Fantique and Tierney Show.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.